This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, February 13th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
America's biggest foreign creditors are having second thoughts about buying U.S. debt.
Fed Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer defends Dodd-Frank ahead of Chair Janet Yellen's testimony in Congress this week.
Royal Bank of Scotland prepares to slash jobs and eliminate branches to cut costs by $1.2 billion.
The U.S. and Japan are reacting to North Korea's latest missile test, plus fears of a possible failure at a North California dam. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks really needed a win and got an impressive one over San Antonio. The Islanders won, Devils lost, Jordan Spieth won at Pebble Beach.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, they are little changed to higher. This is after stocks ended last week at records. S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 30, NASDAQ futures up 2. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%, CAC in Paris up 0.7%, FTSE 100 little change. The Nikkei 225 in Japan up 0.4%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.42%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.20%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 26 cents to $53.60 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $3.80 to $12.32 an ounce. The euro, $1.0640. The yen, 113.73.
We are less than a month into Donald Trump's presidency, and America's biggest foreign creditors are having second thoughts about buying U.S. debt. Bloomberg's John Tucker is here live with details. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Bob. Japan is the largest holder of U.S. Treasuries, and investors there reduced their stakes in December by the most in almost 4 years. China, which owns just over $1 trillion worth of Treasuries, has been selling since May. Its holdings were at a 7-year low. Foreigners still hold about $6 trillion. That's roughly 43% of U.S. government debt market, though that's down from 56% in 2008. The selling has persisted at a time when going abroad has rarely been so attractive. After accounting for hedging costs, 10-year treasuries yield about 0.9%, roughly 10 times the return offered by Japanese government bonds, for instance. But interest rate increases in the U.S. could further sap overseas demand. Bob and Karen.
John Tucker, thank you. Investors will be focused on Fed Chair Janet Yellen this week when she appears before the Senate Banking Committee on Tuesday and Wednesday. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes has the details.
This year, Donald Trump's vow to roll back the Dodd-Frank Bank Reform Act is taking center stage. The questions Janet Yellen may be asked by Congress were asked of Fed Vice Chair Stanley Fischer at a speech in the UK over the weekend. Fischer said he hopes the Dodd-Frank Reform Act won't be repealed, and reducing capital requirements for big banks would make the banking system less safe.
I don't think the Dodd-Frank Act as a whole is going to be repealed. There may be some adjustments in it.
Fischer also said that uncertainty over the new administration's fiscal plans are clouding the Fed's view of the economy.
I don't think anybody quite knows what's going to come out of the process, which involves both the administration and the Congress deciding on fiscal policy and a variety of other things.
As for Fed Chair Yellen, she's also expected to defend the Dodd-Frank Bank Reform Act as essential to preventing the next financial crisis and to express confidence that the economy and inflation are both moving ahead. Kathleen Hayes, Bloomberg, New York.
Thank you, Kathleen. A new week of trading is underway in Europe, and for the latest there, we bring in Bloomberg's Mark Barton live in our London bureau. Mark, good morning.
Bob and Karen, good morning. Shares of STADA rose as much as 15% today, the most in over a decade after the German drug maker received two offers, one valuing it at 3.5 billion euros. Sinven offered 56 euros a share, a 13% premium to Friday's close. That's according to STADA, which didn't name the second bidder. Advent International is the other interested party, according to people familiar. STADA would give a buyer access to Russian and German markets for over-the-counter and copycat drugs. Royal Bank of Scotland is preparing to cut more than $1 billion of annual operating costs by eliminating jobs and closing branches as it seeks to bolster profitability, according to a person with knowledge of the plans. RBS has said it'll unveil fresh plans to meet profit targets alongside annual results on February the 24th. Chief Executive Ross McEwan's plan to lower the bank's cost-to-income ratio to below 50% by 2020 was blown off course after the Bank of England cut rates last year. UBS says he probably needs to remove about $1 billion of annual expenses to reach his target. Shares have rebounded 54% since falling to a seven-year low in July. Mark Barton, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Mark. Trading for this Monday wrapped up in Asia. Bloomberg's Julia Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, Asia picked up the baton and ran with it Monday, the global equity rally sparking a risk-on buying spree across the region. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index rose to July 2015 highs, with materials players leading the gains as both iron ore and copper futures surged. Australia's resource-heavy market gained 0.7% in Sydney. In Japan, a weaker yen also helped sentiment, boosting exporters, as data showed the nation's economy expanded for a fourth straight quarter in December, fueled by export stocks. A positive outcome at the weekend talks between President Trump and Prime Minister Abe also boosted sentiment. In Hong Kong, Chinese stocks listed in the city rose for a sixth session, the longest winning streak in 2 months, as optimism about inflows gave a boost to financial companies. Stocks in Shanghai also closed stronger. The benchmark index added 0.6% by the close. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Juliet. Amazon is reportedly considering entering the pay TV arena. The New York Post says the e-commerce giant is in early discussions about a new paid TV channel that would carry high-end dramas and original movies. The plan's being driven by Amazon's recent success at the Golden Globes and the large number of Oscar nominations for its movies. S&P futures up just a single point right now. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Warnings about a possible dam collapse and mass evacuations. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. More than 180,000 people are being asked to evacuate over concerns that Northern California's Oroville Dam emergency spillway could fail. Officials say Oroville lake levels are decreasing as they had to let water flow from its heavily damaged main spillway. Sheriff Corey Honig.
I would ask for the public's cooperation and patience. This is certainly not something that I wanted to do, but it was something that I felt was necessary to protect the lives of thousands of people.
California's National Guard is on standby, ready to help. President Donald Trump is praising Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers for the recent enforcement surge that officials say is targeting immigrants who are in the country illegally and have criminal records. Trump tweeted that the crackdown on illegal criminals is merely the keeping of my campaign promise. Gang members, drug dealers, and others are being removed. White House senior policy advisor Stephen Miller spoke on ABC's This Week.
We are going to follow the laws of the United States, and in following those laws, we will prioritize the removal of people who have criminal records in this country.
Miller says the executive order gives ICE officers the power to prevent crime before it happens by removing people who pose a threat to public safety. The Trump administration is weighing their next move after a setback in federal court concerning his travel ban order. Washington was one of the states who sued to stop the travel ban. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson on ABC's This Week.
I want to be crystal clear with your viewers. My job as Attorney General is to uphold the rule of law in this country, and I'll use every tool that I have as Attorney General to make sure that the president follows that Constitution.
Trump administration officials say the goal is to pursue every single possible action to keep the country safe from terrorism. Japan is urging China to pressure North Korea after Pyongyang's latest missile test. The UN will hold an emergency session today on the matter. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street, and with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. The Knicks actually made it through the weekend without any of their former players being dragged out of the Garden. In fact, owner James Dolan yesterday sat right next to former Knick Latrell Sprewell, and the five-game homestand ended with a victory, maybe the best of the season for the Knicks. They beat the Spurs, who have the NBA's second-best record, 94-90. The Knicks had allowed over 110 points in each of the last four games. Denver went for 131 on them on Friday. Coach Jeff Hornacek on his team allowing 41 fewer points.
We always believe they're capable of doing it. You know, are they willing to do it? I think the practice and looking at the tape, them talking amongst themselves about trusting each other. And I think the trust came out tonight. You saw guys getting up on the ball. They got beat. Someone rotated. Then we had the second rotation, had the third rotation. So, you know, that's a lot of times it may look like you're scrambling around there, but you're just helping your teammate.
Carmelo Anthony, 25 points all before the second half, hit some big hoops down the stretch. It's possible that it was Melo's final home game as a Knick. They're not back at MSG until after the trade deadline. In Brooklyn, the Islanders with 3 in the third pulled away from Colorado 5-1. Pair of goals for Anders Lee, numbers 20 and 21. Isles 9-2-2 in their last 11 games and just 2 points out for a playoff spot. The Devils gave up 3 goals in the second period, lost to San Jose 4-1. New Jersey's dropped 8 of its last 9 at home. College basketball, Northwestern with an upset win at 7th-ranked Wisconsin. That should help the Wildcats make the NCAA tournament something they've never done. Locally, Manhattan lost at St. Peter's. Iona won at Niagara. Jordan Spieth, still only 23 years old, his 9th career PGA win by 4 shots at Pebble Beach. We're at the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thank you. One more sports item. Reflecting a definite lack of Olympic spirit from Switzerland over the weekend, voters in the Swiss Alps rejected a second Olympic hosting bid that had been planned for upscale mountain resorts in St. Moritz and Davos. A referendum to finance games hosted there was rejected by 60% of voters. S&P futures up 2 points right now, 0.1%. 10-year treasury prices down 7/32. The yield at 2.4323%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and it's 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Foreigners are dumping treasuries, with major creditors like Japan and China pulling back on purchases. Figures due Wednesday will show if the world's safest debt market continued to lose its allure in December. NAFTA will top the agenda as Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau meets with Donald Trump today. Trudeau's visit may test his ability to get along with the president without compromising his liberal values. Big food takes center stage this week, with Kraft Heinz and PepsiCo reporting earnings Wednesday and Nestle reporting on Thursday. Cisco is the last of the big tech names to report, with results out Wednesday. And a newspaper in the Dominican Republic has made an embarrassing mistake concerning President Trump. The paper accidentally published a picture of Alec Baldwin, not the president. Baldwin currently impersonates Trump on SNL. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Have evolving investor and regulatory demands affected your investment firm's operational readiness? Imagine transforming your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/imagine. And futures, they're higher this morning. S&P futures up 2 points. Dow futures up 37. NASDAQ futures up 3. The DAX in Germany's up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. Yield 2.42%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 37 cents to $53.49 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $3.90 to $12.32 an ounce. The euro, $1.0638. The yen, 113.76. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, more than 180,000 people remain under evacuation orders as California authorities try to fix erosion of the emergency spillway at the Oroville Dam in Northern California. The nation's tallest dam could unleash uncontrolled floodwaters if it fails. Lake Oroville had water levels so high that an emergency spillway was used Saturday for the first time in almost 50 years after its main spillway was damaged during recent heavy rain. Heavy, wet snow is once again blanketing the Northeast just days after the biggest storm of the season dumped up to 19 inches of snow on the region. Winter storm warnings are in effect from upstate New York to Maine, where blizzard conditions and 2 feet of snow are possible. Check with the airline. Many flights have been canceled. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Spurs. In the NHL, the Devils lost to the Sharks. The Islanders won along with the Bruins. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Adele was the big winner at the Grammys last night. Adele won 5 awards, including Record, Song, and Album of the Year. Beyonce gave a performance of a Lemonade Melody. Bob Chance, the rapper, won Best New Artist.
Adele, much deserved. What can I say?
Oh, she's very good. And by the way, there was a little sound snafu because she was trying to give a tribute to George Michael, and something went wrong, and she stopped, and unfortunately, she let one fly on live TV, but the censors caught it, so, and she redid the melody to perfection.
She hasn't had much luck with those technical problems, has she?
No, not at all. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
Hey, good morning. I'm John Tucker, and we are looking at the price of crude oil falling this morning. Also, in the next few minutes, OPEC is set to release a report on compliance with its latest production cut agreement. Joining us now from our London bureau is Christopher Sell of the Bloomberg Oil Buyers Brief. Chris, good morning to you. What do you expect to hear from OPEC in terms of compliance?
Yeah, good morning, John. It's due to be landing on the terminal, I think, any minute now, perhaps around midday London time. It's likely that OPEC is going to very much try and push the price of oil up by basically saying, it's the 11 nations which are bound by the agreement are complying as much as they expect, and Saudi is doing more than its fair share. UAE, Angola, all these other countries, they are cutting as they promised, and that's what we expect to see. And we had a sort of a heads up, if you like, on Friday when the IEA produced its January monthly report, and they actually said that it's the best compliance rate in the history. At the outset of the accord, they think the IEA says that they're cutting by 90%, which is a phenomenally high number.
Okay,
from the beginning of it.
So they're complying. And oil prices are down, and you got to wonder, is this agreement the last gasp of the oil cartel?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think the point is with the price, I mean, everyone was worried in the build-up to this agreement that all it would do is, buoy, if you like, U.S. shale production, and obviously it is doing that. But what it's also done is put a floor under the price. That's what OPEC wanted to do. They couldn't have the risk of the oil dropping to $20-$30 a barrel. That was just something they couldn't entertain any longer.
Yeah, I always ask you about the break-even price. Kind of an unfair question. I suspect maybe we found it somewhere between 50 and 55 for the shale producers.
It's certainly comforting them, yes, absolutely. I mean, also don't forget, WTI has been trading, within this range, $50, $55 for the last 2 months. It's incredibly stable. Volatility is right down. The sentiment is, OPEC is there, it's doing what it said, and that's can only, improve the sentiment in the US. And, we saw the Baker Hughes numbers on Friday. They've added another 8 rigs to the count. So it's now standing, I think, at 591, which I believe is, it's the highest since October 2015. And since they sort of bottomed out in May, last year, they've added a 275 rigs back to work. So this is kind of only, if you like, it's vindicating the concerns they had in the second half of last year when this idea was mooted. Let's come up with this agreement. Everyone said, well, all that's going to do is bring the U.S. shale market back into play. But that's, Yes, but that's going to happen. These two are always going to be trading off against each other. But it's certainly kept the price, a floor under the price. And I think as of now, Saudi Arabia, is going to be happy about that.
Chris, we'll look for those numbers. Christopher Sell from Bloomberg Brief. We appreciate it in London. And you could read Chris's analysis. Other news, market data and expert commentary for the world's most trusted economist and analyst in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletter. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com. Terminal customers, you can use the function Brief Go. And as we look at the price of crude right now, NYMEX crude, this is West Texas, down 34 at $53.52. Brent down 35 at $56.35. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Land Rover Own the Adventure sales event happening now. Visit your local Tri-State Land Rover retailer for special offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. America's biggest foreign creditors are suddenly having second thoughts about financing the U.S. government. Bloomberg's Susanna Palmer reports.
In Japan, the largest holder of treasuries, government figures show investors cut their stakes in December by the most in almost 4 years. And it's not just the Japanese. From Tokyo to Beijing to London, foreigners are pulling back from U.S. debt like never before. Whether it's the prospect of bigger deficits and more inflation under President Donald Trump or higher interest rates from the Federal Reserve, the U.S. debt market seems less of a sure thing. Susanna Palmer, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Susanna. Goldman Sachs is bullish on emerging market debt with one caveat. Avoid countries likely to be in the firing line of President Donald Trump. The firm favors investment-grade bonds from Central and Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, regions it says are insulated from risks related to the new administration.
In Japan, exports help the economy expand for a fourth straight quarter. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has that story.
The nation grew by 1% October through December, year on year. Net shipments adding 0.2% in the quarter, while consumption was flat. When you look at 2016 data as a whole, it's evident overseas demand now accounts for about half of Japan's overall GDP expansion. That leaves the country particularly exposed to any new trade barriers from the US, its biggest export market after China. Fortunately, it seems based on the chemistry between Prime Minister Abe and President Trump at the weekend, Japan may have staved off a protectionist backlash for now. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. And Amazon is reportedly considering entering the pay TV arena. The New York Post says Amazon is in early discussions about a channel that would carry high-end dramas and original movies.
Time now for the Volatility Index Report, brought to you by CBOE VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesVIX. Well, the VIX was down almost 0.3% on Friday to close at 10.85. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are higher by 4.6% to 11.35. That's this morning's Volatility Report.
And futures are higher, with S&P futures up about 3 points, Dow futures up 41, NASDAQ futures up 4, 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 2.43%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 31 cents, COMEX gold down 0.3% or $4.20. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. A tense vigil at the site of a dam that could collapse. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that story. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Authorities in Northern California are warning that an emergency spillway in the country's tallest dam is in danger of failing and unleashing uncontrolled floodwaters on towns below. At least 180,000 people near the 770-foot-tall Oroville Dam are being asked to evacuate. California National Guard Commander General David Baldwin says troops are ready to assist in the emergency.
We have over 1,200 people on duty in Northern California that are ready to go at a moment's notice, and we can bring in additional resources as necessary.
The dam is about 150 miles northeast of San Francisco. Japan is urging China to take action against North Korea after it test-fired a ballistic missile over the weekend. Tonight, the United Nations Security Council plans to hold an emergency meeting in New York to discuss the launch. President Donald Trump's chief policy advisor says the White House is exploring all of its options after a federal appeals court handed the administration a legal setback on Trump's executive order on immigration. Stephen Miller on ABC's This Week says that the White House could pursue additional executive actions as well as judicial appeals.
This is an ideological disagreement between those who believe we should have borders and should have controls and those who believe there should be no borders and no controls. That's the essence of this debate.
White House Counselor Kelly Ann Conway's plug for Ivanka Trump's commercial line of products is still stirring up trouble. A federal ethics law prohibits government employees from using their office to promote commercial products or services. Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings with the House Oversight Committee told ABC's This Week it's a textbook case of a violation of the law.
Anybody else would be subject to a minimum probably of a reprimand, or they could literally lose their job over this and any other department.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street now with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Knicks owner James Dolan did a rare interview Friday and insisted he has a good relationship with former Knicks, just not Charles Oakley, who Dolan has banned from the Garden. Sure enough, there was Dolan yesterday sitting next to ex-Nick Latrell Sprewell, who hadn't been at the Garden since he played there in 2004. And for one day anyway, the Knicks gave their fans, including Spike Lee wearing an Oakley jersey, a treat, a 94-90 victory over San Antonio, who came in 41-12 and 22-6 on the road. Carmelo Anthony, 25 points. He moved past Charles Barkley into 25th on the NBA's all-time scoring list. The Knicks frustrated Greg Popovich's team.
The object is to put the ball in that orange ring. That's what we're all trying to do. Play a little D at the other end, but that orange ring, the ball's got to go in there. And 36% from the field, and I don't know, what is it, 20 from three, whatever it was. That's not going to get it done on the road.
So 1-4 homestand. Knicks visit Oklahoma City on Wednesday. They haven't had back-to-back wins since December. The Islanders beat Colorado 5-1. Anders Lee scored twice. Another home loss for the Devils. Beaten by San Jose 4-1. Local college hoops. Stony Brook on a free throw with a second left got by Maine 67-66. St. Peter's beat Manhattan 69-50. Iona took Niagara 90-76. The Yankees let Nathan Eovaldi go since he was not going to be able to pitch this year due to Tommy John surgery, but he has signed with Tampa Bay, who hopes to have him on the mound for 2018. At Pebble Beach, Jordan Spieth began the day with a 6-shot lead, never in any danger of blowing it. He won by 4 shots, played the last 28 holes without a bogey. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Watch out. The Internal Revenue Service is doing a better job of catching fraudulent tax returns, according to the agency's watchdog. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom with details.
The agency still has problems with false withholding and misstatement of wages, but overall, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration says the situation is improving.
The report found that, you know, it has made a lot of progress in terms of being able to stop sending out refunds on fraudulent tax returns and being able to spot those fraudulent returns sooner in the process.
Bloomberg BNA's Colleen Murphy says the agency is now partnering with industry specialists and state revenue agencies to get a jump on issues.
Part of the challenge is the fraud is always changing and the criminals are always sort of one step ahead. So being able to have those sorts of groups pay attention to this has made a big difference.
She says the agency is hopeful with less fraud, they'll be rewarded with more money from Congress. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
President Trump and his allies in Congress have big plans for tax reform, and there's something to be said for that. But the way they're promoting their ideas suggests they don't quite understand the consequences. House Republicans have long proposed cutting the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20%. With Trump, they've added a twist, the so-called border adjustment. It would mean that when firms calculate their taxes, they couldn't count revenue from exports or deduct the cost of imports. In effect, the corporate tax would become a tax on domestic consumption. This would take away companies' incentive to shift profits to overseas subsidiaries, and it would raise additional revenue as much as $100 billion a year. The problem is what happens next. A substantial strengthening of the dollar. And the plan could raise legal objections and possible retaliation from other countries. No question, the U.S. corporate tax needs reform. But radical reform, guided by policymakers who don't always seem to know what they're doing, is too much of a gamble. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. And now it is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. And with that, here's Patrice Sikora.
A Trump administration rule delayed what would be the first endangered designation for a bee species in the continental United States one day before it was to take effect. The rusty-patched bumblebee was once common across the East Coast and Midwest, but its numbers have tumbled since the late 1990s. It's one of many types of bees that have played a vital role in pollinating crops and wild plants. The listing would have required the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to develop a plan for helping the bee recover. Now, the service announced the postponement to meet a Trump administration order that imposed a 60-day freeze on some pending regulations. Environmentalists are concerned the bumblebee protection might be doomed, but the American Farm Bureau Federation opposed the listing, saying it could lead to costlier limits on land or chemical use. The rusty-patched bumblebee has disappeared from about 90% of its range in the past 20 years. Scientists say disease, pesticide exposure, habitat loss, and climate change are among possible causes. And that's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
Patrice, thank you very much. S&P futures currently up almost 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 6/32 right now. The yield at 2.4287%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Review was brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned event is on now with exceptional finance rates. Hurry, offers end soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are moving higher. We heard from Teva reporting a fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. And now we go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. We are seeing gains in the U.S. futures today, with Dow futures currently higher by 40 points. S&P's gained 3 and NASDAQ futures are higher by 4. U.S. 10 yield at 2.43%. Asia markets climbed overnight, while European markets are also rising today, led by 1% gains in France. Regarding earnings this morning, like you said, Teva beat, and look for First Data to report around 7 a.m. In other news, DuPont reached a global settlement regarding PFOA litigation, and Hain Celestial disclosed an SEC accounting probe. Finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Travelers cut to market perform at FBR. Over at Morgan Stanley, AK Steel cut to equal weight, and Nucor was upgraded to overweight. Occidental cut to neutral at Mizuho. Evercore cut to neutral at Nomura. And Regeneron raised to overweight at Piper with a price target of $4.46. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump will meet with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Washington today. The two leaders will hold a joint news conference. Bloomberg will carry the news conference live starting at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Senate confirmation hearings will be held today for President Donald Trump's pick for Treasury Secretary. Democrats are critical of Steve Mnuchin, saying he failed to protect thousands of homeowners from unnecessary foreclosures when he headed One West Bank. Bloomberg Radio will carry live portions of today's confirmation hearings. Adele walked away the big winner at last night's Grammys. Adele won 5 awards, including Album, Record, and Song of the Year. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Spurs. In the NHL, the Devils lost to the Sharks. The Islanders, along with the Bruins, won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, while the music industry was honored at last night's Grammys, a former Grammy winner died over the weekend. Seven-time Grammy winner Al Jarreau died. Jarreau, who fused jazz and pop, sang the theme to the TV show Moonlighting. Bob Jarreau also gave us other popular songs, including We're in This Love Together and Breaking Away.
Oh, that's really sad news. Really, he was just a really talented vocalist. I liked Morning, Mr.
Yes.
Radio.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I really liked him. I was sad to hear the news. Al Jarreau was 76. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Clive Crook, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Here are some things the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit didn't do when it maintained a freeze on President Trump's controversial immigration order. It didn't break new constitutional ground. It didn't clarify anything that was previously unclear. It certainly didn't say that the government couldn't have prevailed on the merits. It said the White House is entitled to substantial deference on immigration and national security. What it did was find the government guilty of gross incompetence. The administration said its policy was unreviewable and offered little or nothing to justify it. This position wasn't questionable, it was preposterous, and the court dismissed it out of hand. This wasn't a question of good intentions or bad intentions. It wasn't a question of how much deference the government is entitled to under the Constitution. That issue is still unresolved. It was simply about an administration that's just plain clueless when it comes to designing, executing, and judicially defending its policies. I'm Clive Crook, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard hourly, weekday mornings. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
Many small businesses have experienced premium increases and more regulations since the primary provisions of the Affordable Care Act took effect in 2014. Small business representatives told a congressional committee on February 7th that they continue to drop health insurance coverage for employees as Obamacare has failed to control those underlying health care costs. Tom Secor, a small business owner from Ohio, testified on behalf of the National Small Business Association before the House Small Business Committee. He told the panel the Affordable Care Act was primarily about expanding access to health insurance, not reducing costs. Looking at proposals to change the law, the small business leaders support encouraging health insurance sales across state lines, which has been called for by congressional Republicans and President Donald Trump. The Small Business Committee chairman said doing nothing is not an option. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you very much, John Tucker. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Donald Trump meeting with Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at the White House, following that a joint press conference that we will bring you live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. And the president's meeting with Trudeau comes following a weekend he spent with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, where the two discussed topics that included threats from North Korea and free trade.
We are committed to the security of Japan and all areas under its administrative control and to further strengthening our very crucial alliance.
Joining us now with more on Prime Minister Abe's visit and other items on the president's plate this week is Bloomberg politics reporter Jennifer Epstein. Jennifer, good morning. As positively as this was received, Mr. Abe characterized these talks as frank discussions, which is often diplomatic speak for we had words. For one thing, he said afterward, it's not good for the U.S. to become isolated. What's the White House saying about significant advances out of these talks?
So far we haven't heard a ton about kind of a readout. I think that in general, the president's tone on these kinds of things is that everything was great and went great and will be great for the U.S. And I think that that's really what we've gotten out so far. We haven't gotten any specific deliverables, and we certainly haven't gotten, the same sense that came from Abe and the Japanese government that this may not have been quite what Donald Trump thought it was, which would not be entirely surprising, but kind of speaks to the effort that the president certainly made over the weekend to try to seem like they were very close. And, they played many holes of golf together on Saturday, and had dinner together both Friday night and Saturday night at his home in Florida. And this is all kind of to say, okay, we're actually close to Japan after attacking Japan throughout the campaign. And I think that that's sort of what you're going to see with a lot of these foreign leader visits that are coming up in the next few weeks, is that the president spent all of his time campaigning on this more of an isolationist platform. And now that he's president, he realizes that he can't cut off all of these alliances. One, that the world relies on them too much, and two, there's just too much that the U.S. needs out of these alliances.
Well, hopefully with these meetings coming up, they won't all be met with a missile test from North Korea. And that was something that both leaders had something to say about, and really sort of tests Donald Trump on the global stage.
Yeah, late Saturday night, which was already midday Sunday in Japan, Abe and Trump both came out at Mar-a-Lago and gave statements. And it was kind of the first kind of international emergency, not a really super high-level thing, not the kind of thing that the President of the United States would necessarily even talk about on TV, except that the Japanese leader was there and he needed to be shown kind of support. But basically, Abe said we're going to react strongly to this. He invoked the relevant UN provisions, and Donald Trump just said, we stand in support of Japan. And he really had a very restrained statement. There was another statement that the White House and the Japanese officials had prepared that was much more involved, and said they just decided to show a sign of support and leave it at that. And that's an unusual, I guess, sign of restraint for this administration.
Bloomberg Politics reporter Jennifer Epstein, thank you very much. And you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. And Jennifer joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Coming up, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. And David is joining me now with what's ahead. Good morning, David.
Hey, Bob. As foreign policy continues to be front and center, Peter Feaver will join us. He served on President George W. Bush's National Security Council. Now he is a professor of political science and public policy at Duke. And I'm looking forward to talking currencies with Jordan Rochester. He's the head of FX strategy at Nomura. And last week, Dan Tarullo announced he intends to step down from the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. And someone reportedly in the running to replace him is John Allison, the former chairman and CEO of BB&T. John Allison will join us along with Chuck Gabriel, president of Capital Alpha Partners, and it is always good to chat with one Bob Cinch. He'll be here as well, Bob Cinch of Amherst Pierpont.
And that's coming up at 7 here on Bloomberg Radio. A check of the markets now here in Moscow.
All right, thank you. And just again, Teva Pharmaceutical, the world's largest maker of generic medicines, reporting fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Futures are higher this morning. For Bob Moon, I am Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.